this morning and to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's always amazing to me God's timing as we're wrapping up a series on the book of Philippians. We're reading in the book of Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, and we're wrapping up those last few verses as Paul is greeting and thanking the church at Philippi. And this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's amazing how God just lays these things out and puts it, the timing is always there. And in fact, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, sometimes you think, oh man, well maybe you don't, okay? Maybe you don't come to this conclusion. But you know that song, that new song we sing, With Lifted Hands? It's the idea of surrendering yourself completely, God, being content in whatever God has given you, recognizing that your life needs to be content in the presence of God. And here's what's crazy about that. I didn't even realize it until we were singing it this morning as we were rehearsing again this morning, early this morning at 8:30, that song goes exactly with the message, because the message is about Paul finding contentment. And I also think it's unusual that we're preaching, that I'm preaching, God's got a message on contentment the Sunday before Thanksgiving, okay? And Thanksgiving is where we're thanking God for everything that he's given us and celebrating the goodness of his protection, his provision, his power, his presence, everything, any other P word that you can think of, okay? But it's also the day, you know, Thanksgiving is the day before what? Black Friday, where every unmet need that we have been presented with all the different advertisements that we're going to see while we're trying to watch football on Thursday afternoon, we're going to be reminded of everything we don't have and everything we need, and we're going to create, you know, the whole idea of advertising is to create discontent. I love a good cup of coffee. How about you? You know, but it has to be precisely, if it's too hot, can't drink it. But if it gets a little too cold, and if you keep heating it up in the microwave, it just isn't fresh anymore. Why can't I just be content that I have a coffee cup and that I have a cup full? And Paul is talking about that in this passage. And I'm sorry, but it just amazes me how God times things out. What's even more amazing is the fact that I'm surprised by it. After all these years, God is present in the midst of whatever it is you're facing. And I want you to hear that this morning, especially as we read in Philippians. We're in Philippians chapter 4, as we're going to read through this, the last passage, and then we're going to take a look at a few things in it that I think God is calling us to. So here we go. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me here, with me, send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. You know, there are two paths. You ever hear people take scripture verses out of context? Well, there are two verses in this reading that we're going to read that have been misused by lots of folks. And I want to go to those. I want to take a look at those individually. And I want to focus on what is it Paul is actually saying. Context means everything. For instance, and I think you've heard me say this before. If you see me and I'm kicking a dog, you could come to the conclusion that what? Pastor Ken doesn't like dogs. He's unfair to dogs. He mistreats dogs. He is not a nice guy because of the fact that he's kicking that dog. But if you found out from the context, if you got there a little bit earlier and you saw that the dog had been attacking one of my grandkids and I was kicking the dog to get them away, then you have context. You understand why I was kicking the dog. So context means something. And sometimes what we do, and it's important, because Paul's context means something. We have to look at where he was and what was going on in Scripture, and we can't lift words out of Scripture and use them against people. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were talking about the Word of God being used as an offensive weapon. And what I mean by that is, we need to share the Word of God. I get that, and that's I'm not saying that's not. But when we use the Word of God to beat people up, that's not the example of Jesus. Jesus came, and He is the Word made flesh. He came in the flesh. He was the Word made flesh. And how did He care for when He was confronted with a woman caught in adultery? What did He do? Was He full of judgment? Now, if there was anybody in that crowd that could have judged her, He was the guy. He was without sin. What did He do? He received her with grace. When He went to the woman at the well, and He had the conversation with her, He already knew her lifestyle. He knew what was going on. He knew the backstory. Well, what did He do? He greeted her with grace. He was open with grace. You know, we look at the 12 disciples, and we realize He chose a betrayer. Judas. Judas betrayed Him. Now, did Jesus choose him so that He would betray Him? I can't believe that. That would be evil. And God's not evil. I think Jesus chose Him because he saw the abilities and the strengths He had, but He also knew that He had to go through a test. And He even warned Judas. Judas, you know, He warned Peter. So all I'm saying is that God is a God who loves us. And He wants us to draw closer to Him. And so in this passage, context is everything. I can do, and He uses this verse, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Now, the way most people will read this, and there are translations that say, I will do all things through Him who gives me strength. And then some have added the word, well, it's Jesus who gives us strength, so let's put that in there too. So because we want a good, pithy statement. Whenever you're advertising anything, you want a good, strong, pithy statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with believing that. Because the reality is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But when we take it out of context, and we take it and we move it into the business form and say, hey, you know what? I've got this grand vision for my company. I'm going to, top sales, and I'm going to do all this. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. But Paul was saying something totally different. Because sometimes what we want to do and what God wants us to do is totally the opposite. God is calling us into a relationship. I love Thanksgiving. And one of the things I love about Thanksgiving is what? The food. And I love that, a few years ago, I decided I wanted to make a new tradition, okay? And you know what you have to do with traditions? You have to keep doing them. Well, I didn't keep doing them, so. Because the first one didn't go very well. I decided, we always come home for Thanksgiving. We were living in California, and our goal was always to come home at Thanksgiving. And part of it was because Thanksgiving was just not as busy of a time for me as a pastor in California. You know, pastors are pretty busy during the month of December, lots of things going on. Christmas, we focus on that. Thanksgiving was a good time for me to be home with my family and celebrate. You know, it wasn't the rush and the whole idea of, oh, we got to do the presents, we got to do all this. None of that stuff. So Thanksgiving was such a peaceful time. But, you know, whenever you have a peaceful time and an orderly time, a thing that kind of gives you rest, you want to add work to it. So I decided that I needed to create a new tradition, and that was this. I was going to make cranberry relish. Not just, you know, get the cranberry out of the can and try to make it look like it wasn't in a can because it, you know, you've all seen cranberry relish dumped out of the can and sliced in half, right? I mean, you've seen that, right? I mean, we've all seen that. I mean, presentation is everything, right? So I decided to get fresh cranberries. I had this recipe. I followed it and everything. And it tasted pretty good, as I recall, but I've forgotten completely about that. But here's the deal. If you follow a recipe in the kitchen, it works. If you follow a recipe in building a building, it works. If you follow a recipe on how to grow your business, it typically will work. You know, you have to follow a recipe. There's instruction manuals. But here's what we do. The Word of God is not about a recipe. It's about a relationship. And so we take a statement like that, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. We tweak a few words and we say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we say, that's the recipe. So if I just bathe everything I'm doing in Jesus, then I can do it. And because Jesus is going to give me strength to do it. We've separated ourselves from the power of God. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I can do all this. What is this? What things is Paul pointing to? And this is what he's pointing to. He says earlier in this passage, he said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I don't know if you underline stuff in your Bible or highlight stuff in your Bible app, but that's something important. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He says, I know both of the spectrums. I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is when I don't have anything. I get that. I have learned. Then he says it again. So you know it's important when Paul says it twice and right in the same area, because again, he's writing to us and he's reminding us, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can be content. So what we learn about contentment is it can be learned. Contentment can be learned. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And why do they mow so often? That bugs me. Okay, now that's another, we won't go there. But he says, I have learned the secret of being content. And the secret of being content, I've learned it. And I wonder if the secret is more something, it's not hidden. It's not hidden. He's saying, it's not hidden in that sense. It's only learned by doing it. There's certain things you can never understand until you actually live through them. When I was in college and doing accounting classes and everything, most of my accounting classes came to me easy. I mean, I'd walk into a test and you know everybody would walk out and my classmates or whatever, they were all moaning and groaning about the test, and I'm thinking, man, that wasn't so bad, you know, and I did really well on it. I always made real high grades in accounting, and so when it came to the test for the CPA exam, I kept hearing the same thing. Oh, man, it's the hardest test you ever take, blah, 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 you know. I thought, oh, yeah, I've heard this before, and then I went and took it. Oh, my gosh. It was so much harder than I had ever prepared for. So when I went back to take it, I was prepared, and I passed it the second time. But all four parts, by the way, just a little brag there, okay? But what I'm saying is this. Sometimes you can't learn the secret of something until you actually do it. So you practice contentment. Another example, when Kelly and I adopted, one of the folks that was very instrumental in us getting to the point where we could adopt, Kyle. And this is another family, the Browns, Bev and Steve Brown, good friends of ours. They live near Madison, Indiana. And so Kelly was working with Bev, and they became connected. And Bev had gone through adoption because they had two adopted children, but they had no biological children. We did lots of stuff together as a family. Kyle came home, and six months into Kyle being home with us and us doing some sort of family thing together with the Browns. And Bev pulled Kelly aside and said, "Is it the same?" And Kelly said, "Is what the same?" She said, "Your love for your adopted child, is it the same as your love for your biological children?" And she said, "Yes, it's the same." Why was Bev asking that question? Because she couldn't know the other. She didn't know that the love I have for my two children that I've adopted, that brought into my family through adoption, is it the same as the love I would have had I had biological children? And Kelly was able, because Kelly had lived through that, she was able to say, "Yes, it's the same." Paul is saying, look, there's a secret in learning to be content. And that secret is living it. You're never going to understand it until you do it. Until you live in such a way that you say, look, whatever God has given me, I want to be thankful for. This week is about expressing our thanks to God. But every day should be a day of thanks, especially for Christ followers. Why? Because he saved you. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is living in you. The presence of God empowers you, strengthens you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can learn the secrets of being a disciple of Christ. You can learn to follow Christ with your full life. You can learn to rest and trust in him despite whatever it is you're facing, the troubles that are coming up. And Paul is calling us to that. He's also saying thank you to these folks in Philippi. He's letting them know, hey, look, you're one of the few churches. He goes on in verse 14. He says, there's so many things you did for me. And then he gets this other phrase, and this is another one, another passage of Scripture that has been co-opted by many people, and that's simply this, at the very end of that little conversation in verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." You know, one of the things I wrote in my notes this past week as I was, praying over this, studying this passage, one of the things I wrote in this note is, This is another one of those scripture passages that people will misuse. So if you give to our ministry, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God's going to take care of you. If you bless us, God's going to bless you. See, now, I said something earlier about a recipe. This is what it is. We think that we can follow a recipe in God and put him in, if I do this, this, and this, then God has to do this. You ever get it right with your husband or with your wife or with your kids where you have one of those days where it just goes right? And at the end of the day, you're like, okay, what did I do? Because I want to do those things again tomorrow so that I'll get the same outcome tomorrow. You know what that's called? That's called a recipe. How many times have don't raise your hand, don't. And wives, please be careful with this, okay? How many times have you heard this? Baby, if you just tell me what you need, you just tell me what it is you want, and I'll do it. If I have to tell you, don't do it. Why? When we're relating to God and understanding who he is, one of the things I keep saying over and over again, one of the ways we know God is by studying his word, reading scripture every day, reading something every day and asking God, "God, I want to know you more." It's not, okay, I want to read Scripture today because after all, I'm asking God for a particular blessing in my life and I need that money or I need this event. You know, oh Lord, won't you buy me mercy? You know, whatever it is, we're praying to God and say, God, give me these things. I'm doing all this and I'm checking off all the blocks. Remember when I was a kid, we used to have the Sunday school envelopes and the envelope said, you know, did you tithe? Did you do this? You had little places to check off and you want to check off it. Sometimes that's what we're doing with God. And that's what these two passages, sometimes they get distorted and mess with us. And we think all we have to do is follow the recipe. And then God, we've got God right where we want him. And God has to bless us. And God has to take care of us. And God, wait. God is already taking care of you. Take a breath. That's a gift from God. You woke up this morning. And God said, I'm not done with you yet. I've got work for you to do on this planet, with your family, in this church, in this community. You're right where I want you to be. I'm not done with you. You got some great things to do. Yes, I'm preparing a place for you, and it's going to be incredibly wonderful. And I know in some ways you're just ready to say, hey, I'm ready to go home to my daddy. But I got stuff for you to do, and I love you, and I care about you. And yes, you can do all these things through Christ who strengthens you. And yes, I'm going to meet all of your needs according to the riches of and glory of Christ Jesus. It's all going to happen in the name of Jesus. But it's not about a recipe. It's about falling in love with God. It's about falling in love with who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And recognizing that it's all about the relationship. Paul is calling them to a relationship. One of the things you hear in this passage as you read back through it this afternoon, as you think through it, is you hear him say, I'm grateful for the gift, but I'm not reminding you of the gift so that you'll give me more. I wasn't asking for the gift in the beginning because I'm content, whatever the needs I've got. If I have great needs, it's okay, I can be content. Why? Because my God will supply all I need. And I apparently have all I need even when I don't have a lot. And I know that when God has given me plenty, he's given me plenty so that I can be a blessing to other people. Contentment is not something that we learn by reading about it. Contentment is something we learn by doing something about it. And right now, I'm going to just kind of go to a little bit of meddling, okay? What is it you're holding on to tightly? In the United States of America, the things that we hold tightly to are our time and our money. Don't ask me. You can ask me to do lots of different things, but those two things we hold like this. Paul recognizes that the gifts that he's received with an open hand. An open hand simply says this, God can bless you and God can take it away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. An open hand says, whatever it is God pours into my life, he's pouring into my life not for me, but for the kingdom of God. He's pouring into my life so that I can be a blessing to others. There's a reason. There's a good picture of this in that area. There's Sea of Galilee where Jesus spoke many times. That's where Peter caught the load of fish that surprised everybody. That's where Jesus crossed over that, walked on that lake. Everything about that lake is alive and living. And the Jordan River flows through there and it goes down to what's called the Dead Sea. And at the Dead Sea, everything dumps in there, and there's no outlet. And it's a picture. The Sea of Galilee is alive and full. Why? Because it receives and it gives. It receives and it gives. The Dead Sea is dead because it receives and receives and receives and receives. Thanksgiving is a time for us to recognize that everything we have is from God. And he's calling us to open our hands and say, God, I surrender all that I have. With every heartbeat in my chest, with every breath I take, with everything you bless me with, all that I have is yours. Now you say, my gosh,
Pastor Ken, you just start talking about money. You're getting into our pocketbook and that sort of thing. And the offering's going to happen here in a minute and that sort of thing. And you say, oh, yeah, and I've read the bulletin. And it says that, you know, giving is where it is. It needs to be this number, not that number, that sort of thing. I want to be very clear on this. Our God will supply all of our needs according to his riches. And apparently that may be all we need. And then we figure out a way to live on that. And that's what's going to happen. How do you do it in your family? You just keep using the Discover card, you know? No, you say no, we're not going to do that. We adjust to make. So we'll make those adjustments. In fact, we got a finance meeting right after church today just to look at the budget for the new year. And part of that budget is probably going to be a faith, statement of faith. Every budget's a statement of faith, isn't it? It's saying, God, we're hoping that you'll provide for us, but even if you don't, whatever it is you provide, that's what we're going to live on. But I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about you. Well, the only way you ever learn contentment is by being content. The only way we ever learn the blessing of giving is by what? Giving. By letting go of what we're holding on so tightly to. God is asking us. He's calling the church to live this. We understand that we can do this through the Him who gives me strength. We understand that God is going to meet all of our needs, not our wants, all of our needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. I love the way Paul concludes this letter. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And he began with the whole idea of grace and peace. And he ends the letter with the idea of grace. It's the power of grace at work in us that allows us, gives us the strength to, first of all, be content with whatever it is God has placed in our lap. To be content with the idea of giving and loving people in the name of Christ. Because that's what Jesus did. He emptied himself so that he could become the gift that God wanted for us. He could become the Lamb of God who died for our sins. That's what Jesus did. And that's what Jesus calls us to. That's what Paul is calling to the church at Philippi to become. And he's calling us as well. This week is a week of thanksgiving. This week is a week of recognizing God has blessed me. How can I bless others? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your grace and your love. I thank you, God, that we can celebrate the goodness of the King of Kings. Every Sunday we get to worship you. But God, every day we wake up, you've given us a new day. You've given us a day to live and love like no one else. You've loved us with the love of us. By sending your Son to die for our sins. And Father, I believe that we need to simply surrender everything to you this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.